This is fourth time of the Second Kings. Today we will go through the book of the Jonah. How should I not have concern? We are going through the Bible, book 66 books. So our church is going through the Bible in a chronological order. Now we are on 2 Kings. So far we have seen the history of God's chosen people continuing to be corrupted to the bottom for about 700 years after the Exodus. So soon after entering promised land Canaan, people are living a life what is right in their own eyes. So why? It is because these people have forgotten their promise and a covenant with God as a holy priest nation. Then just to follow the worldly life which was good in their eyes. They do not teach or learn the covenant of the mountain Sinai and follow the word and its value. It is a greater crisis to lose standard than to lose the goal. So it's a repeat again. It is a greater crisis to lose standard than to lose the goals. So wandering in life is not because of losing goal, but because of losing standard of life. So we continue to talk about goals and purposes, but unless they are built on the biblical values, it is like building a house on the sand. God commanded to teach His word to all people once in every 7 years. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 9 to 13. But Israel haven't done this. That is the key reason of the North Israel continue to collapse. It's because of forgetting the covenant with God. So remember, if you do not know God's word, you will be the same today as Israel did in the past. So the mission of the church should be to make God's heart known to everyone. This is the purpose of all our service gathering and worship. So we will continue learning the Bible. The last time King Ahaziah of South Judah went to visit King Joram of North Israel, and he died by Jehu. After Adaliah, the mother of the King Ahaziah of the Judah, killed all her grandchildren and became a queen. But one of the princes, baby Joash, had been saved by the priest Jehoiada. Then he became a king. When the south and north kingdoms disobeyed, God called the prophet named Jonah. So prophet Jonah, the work in during the time of the Jeroboam II of North Israel. In 2 Kings, verse 12. So the book of Jonah in the timeline, or in time order, should be placed behind, just right followed by the chapter 13 in 2 Kings. But it's placed far behind in the Bible order, because the history book is at the front, and all the book of prophecy is behind. And also the major prophecy book is earlier, located in the earlier part, and later part is minor prophecies. It's based on the volume of the book. So this is probably, if we go through the old Bible order, probably you cannot understand the which comes the first, which comes the later. So that's why it is important to read the Bible in chronological order in a timeline, and it help you to understand a lot easier in the history background. So the book of Jonah is not about North Israel, but about the Nineveh, which is Assyria. Chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. This Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, and the origin from the Noah's first son, Shem, who had five sons: Elam, Assyria, Arpachshad, Ruth, and Aram. Nineveh was founded by the second son of Assyria. Whilst the descendant of Arpachshad, the third son, led to Abraham. The wickedness of this land of Nineveh was so evil though to be judged. God is a God of grace and love, but He is also God of justice and judgment. Therefore, even though the world seems to live freely, it is being monitored by God every day. The result, however, is that now Nineveh is so depraved that God can no longer hold the judgment. So now, with 40 days deadline of time, God is about to send Jonah to Assyria for them to repent and avoid His judgment. But if you look at the chapter 1, verse 3, but Jonah escaped from the face of the Lord and went down to Joppa to flee to Tarshish. Tarshish is a port city in southern Spain. Jonah was commissioned to save the Nineveh from the judgment. Instead, he went to save people in Nineveh of Assyria, but he fled to Spain. So why is the prophet Jonah hostile to Assyria? The historical record indicates that Assyria was attacking North Israel at the time of Shalmaneser III about BC 840 and was receiving tribute from the Jehu of North Israel, which is written on the monument of a black obelisk, Shalmaneser III. The official mention of a tribute to Assyria from the time of King Menahem of North Israel, which has been allied with Aram and resisted Assyria since the time of Ahab in the day of Jehu, we can see that they sent tribute to Assyria. So when Jonah received God's command, he might have thought that he would run away instead of helping Assyrian to avoid the judgment of God. God cares the life regardless how small it is, but Jonah did not understand the love of God. So they are similar to the church and Christian life of today. So today we are called to be light and salt, the mission clearly dictated by Jesus. However, we live still self-centered life, still drive our life for our greediness and self-desire, not living for the mission. So through this Jonah, I hope you to reflect on your faith and consider how you stand before the mission of God, who cares every single life. Who will be most pleased when the Christian turn away from their mission and live a disobedient life? Of course, Satan. Satan is seen as an active supporter. When Jonah goes as he thought, and the boat to Tarshish is ready, if he missed out, probably you think, oh, it's not will of God. But the boat was ready to go to Tarshish when he wanted to run away. Some people say they are blessed even though they are totally seem to go to the opposite side of the what Bible tells them about. This is not the blessing, it's not the opening door of the God, but this is the active supporting of the Satan. How often we have a similar experience? God clearly said no, but we would not try to obey, try to test the will of God. We shouldn't judge the will of God by how it goes. When it goes well in our eyes, we think, oh, God is opening the door. But we cannot judge whether it's the will of God or not the will of God by how it goes well or not. Surprisingly, though the Bible shows the path of obedience is not a wide highway or freeway, but are persecuted over a narrow path, sometimes stoned, and eventually dying on a cross. It doesn't seem to be opening gate. It seems to be there's like a no way. When you try to live for the kingdom of God and live for His will. So, we can't discern what God's will is by how successful what we are doing. So whether we are on a narrow road or big road, we must know the value of the laws and ordinance that God has given. Some people think our prayer can change the situation, but your prayer can be the threatening God. Teasing God, unknowing God, when we pray without knowing His will. So if we know clearly what God's word is, we will not compromise on our mission and continue to work on your mission, even when opposition comes. Like in the Garden of Eden, when we disobeyed God and wanted to go according to our own idea, Satan mostly pleased. But one thing is, Satan cannot force us to commit the sin. He has not capable to make us sin. But what he does is, he tempted us. He tempt us and deceive us. Without knowing the word of God, maybe in our eyes it looks like an opening door, more opportunity, but it might be end of the judgment. So if you look at the chapter 1 verse 4, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid and each cries out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Those who live a life of disobedience are forced to seize God's clear voice with excuses. Then the soul falls into the deep sleep because the voice of God is not heard. Then like Jonah, you sleep deeply alone even when the whole world is now upside down. Eat and drink merry until they stand before the judgment, as they did not know until they were all destroyed in the flood judgment. Many people in the church today do not even know their mission and responsible for my dying life. The members of the church today are not even aware of this mission and are to live for the sake of self-satisfaction and the goodness like the world. It is time of absence of spiritual parents where no one takes responsibility for life. There are many excuses. Life is busy, school is busy, business is busy, and the job is busy. No one to take the responsibility for the soul of God. Tears in the absence of spiritual parents. As parents educate their children only with money these days, many believers end up by money offering not to become a spiritual parent who God seeks to. There are many churches, but the churches that live according to God's command and promises, truly responsible for life, are hard to find today. Jonah in 2 Kings verse 14:25 was a prophet who spoke the word of God to North Israel. Not only for Nineveh, he was already a prophet working for North Israel. Can't you imagine how urgent Assyria was by sending a prophet of Israel in Nineveh? God is urgently calling messenger because so many lives are facing the death. Today, even God's clear mission, the Christian turn away and run away like a Jonah. The church then needs to open the door to the world, first to close the door. And God's people excuses mission for their own convenience. God does not leave such a church or a Christian. A father who loves his children discipline them to walk in right path. Persecution occurs when the church lives busy in their work without keeping God's command and promise. So we, all the churches and Christians, gotta carry on the mission to be the witness to the end of the earth. Chapter 1 verse 6, the captain went to Jonah and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Have you ever experienced this? Unbeliever who should hear the gospel, rebuke the prophet, rebuke the Christian. The captain of the ship, rebuke the prophet Jonah and ask him to wake up and pray. Haven't you heard about it? People in the world think that if they encounter problems, they think the lack of prayer or lack of devotion. But what is the problem now? This terrible situation Jonah come across is not a matter of not praying, but of not obeying God's clear will. As you look at the problems in your life, look back at whether this is a matter of prayer or disobedience. Many Christians pray hard even when they do not have a life of obedience. There are many times when we think that there is a lack of prayer or lack of devotion due to disobedience. This is not a matter of prayer, but a matter of obedience to mission. Jonah knew exactly that it was a matter of disobedience in chapter 1, verse 10. Brothers and sisters, if God commissioned Christian to not stand in their mission, they become dangerous weapon like a that kills lives, not tools to save people. In Jonah's case, we can find. My neighbor should be blessed by me, but my neighbors are harmed and put in danger because of my disobedience. We can find a similar case of the storm of the pole. When the Apostle Paul tried to save his life without losing his mission, Apostle Paul was stormed when he was sent to the Rome. Paul encouraged each and every one of those who feared and eventually saved them all. But Jonah almost killed all those innocent people by his disobedience. Because North Israel does not live right to God, the neighboring countries are also involved in war, involved in famine. Brothers and sisters, based on this biblical history and its principle, you cannot deny that your family, your friend, or the company may be blessed or suffered because of you. You are the channel of God's blessing, a precious being, life-giving being, the only beings who can announce the living of God. I urge you not to forget this fact and truth and to be firm in your mission. So what does the book of Jonah tell us now? What is the lesson? As we continue to look at, all of this is related to Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, the covenant of Israelites on Mount Sinai. The word belongs to me, and if you listen to me and keep my covenant, you will become a kingdom of priests among all nations, a holy people, to be like a light, a being to know and connect God with the nation of the world. It is the reason for your being the life of mission. Jonah is a prophet. But what will happen when the prophet loses the mission? What will happen to this dying soul? God is crying for these dying people. Prophet who has entrusted the word to share the heart of God. Today, Christian, those who keep their covenant with God and live as a royal priest, holy nations, and God's own people, we have a mission to save lives. You are the only one sent by God who can save dying lives in your family, in your workplace, in your school, and your friends. For this mission, we have a family, we have a job, we have a business, we have a school. So the Christians are not just gathering in the church for the fellowship with each other, but to go to the end of the earth, which is the marketplace, workplace, your home, and your school. There's a way you have been sent to live as the witness of the gospel. Don't forget to live as a missionary, light and the soul where we are sent. Continue, chapter 2 tells the story of Jonah praying in the belly of the fish. If you read this, Jonah prayed in many prayer, but only one thing made God to save him when God hears the prayer that he will leave for the mission. Chapter 2, verse 9. But I will shout of grateful praise will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. When we leave from the disobedience and live according to God's word, God brings Jonah back to his mission. God restores us when we stand in promise. I'm telling you if it's misunderstood, but that's where the Jonah was thrown off from the belly of the fish. If you look at the map, some people say that Jonah is just a myth. Or how can fish come out of the Mediterranean to get Jonah to Nineveh and pass through the Spain around the Africa? But now, go into the Persian Gulf and come up to the Tigris River. But you can't go within a year. That's also what the Bible school prophets said. But think about it. Why are you taking Africa all the way back? Wouldn't it be better to just send it from here to Aram or Sidon? If you send it to the north of the Aram or Sidon, north of Israel, you can make up for the lost time and follow the road you originally intend to go there. So don't be fooled by the stories that try to pinpoint the errors of the Bible. People who do not want to believe the Bible always think of the miscellaneous garbage. God sent Jonah when he would go to the place of mission in the belly of fish, and he heard to the place where he was able to go to the Nineveh, shortening the distance that he had delayed while fleeing. Chapter 3, Jonah finally arrived at Nineveh. He proclaimed for one day in a big city that could take 3 days from one end to the other end. In other words, he did without heart. He ran out of the street and proclaimed what God asked him to say. But the amazing thing was, even Jonah evangelized with no heart. But the people in Nineveh listened and understood and fasted and repented. The king of Nineveh did not hear Jonah's message directly. But after hearing the news from his servant, he changed himself into the sack, make even animal livestock and livestock to fast for repentance. The repentance of the people of Nineveh and the king was not just a verbal repentance. If you look at the chapter 3 verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. When we repent, to put ashes on you, to wear the sackcloth, to shed tears and a fast, maybe it doesn't matter. Repentance is another realization. It's because you find out what you didn't know and realize, oh, this is wrong. The true repentance, as Bible says, is a change of behavior, change of life based on realization. God did not turn his will from saying that the people of Nineveh was fasting, crying, and hurting, but he withdrew the judgment after seeing their true repentance to leave the path of evil. Many people only think of the repentance as a verbal and intellectual realization, but repentance should not be done only by the word, but by the action. Coming back to God's promise and do what you are supposed to do. Although God has sent numerous prophets to North Israel, people did not listen to God. However, Nineveh was different. Today, thousands of Christians come to church, come to worship, and hear the word of God. But there are many questions about whether their lives are truly transformed like the word. It does not seem to change it. They just realize intellectually increasing Bible information and knowledge a little by little and get to know a little bit more. They cry for a while, weep for a while, feel guilty and sorry. But in real life, they are still stubborn to live on their sinful lives and keep their old habits and a wrong relationship. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." The way God repairs our land is that we must first depart from the evil way, leave from the evil way, and humble ourselves and pray. Repentance is not verbal repentance, but leaving from its evil ways. In chapter 4, Jonah sees Nineveh repenting and heart of God. Chapter 4, verse 1, Jonah was very displeased and angry. Jonah is still unaware of God's heart other than his own thought. He continued to insist on his self-centeredness. Why? Jonah does not know the heart of God, heart of a heavenly Father, desperately want to save one more life in the world. God is not only the God of Christian alone, but God who loves all the life He has created. Still, Israel misunderstands God as their own God. When He promised them at Mount Sinai, people were saved not because of they were good, but because they were so weak and poor. They were saved and called to be a model for the world, to know how much God loves the world. In spite of this history, they still believe that they are only chosen people of God. That's what Jonah looked like, but even now the Israel still has not exceeded their level of understanding about God. Of course, our church also making same mistake as Israelites did. You can see the Jonah's continuing behavior. Because of his discomfort, he's tempted to say, "It is better for me to die than to live," and intimidate God. But he does not see the heart of God that concerned the death of so many souls in Nineveh. This is exactly the same problem that churches are doing today. Belief in God is all for ourselves, indifferent to the mission of loving and saving life, and only concerned with increasing one's satisfaction and goodness. That is why the churchy lives a life that is no different from the idolatry. Rather than knowing the word and obeying joyfully, people think it's only a matter of praying and crying. But we cannot be better than Jonah's life until we know the heart of God through the word. God is crying out of heart as a soul falls and goes to the hell. God cares not only Christian but also Gentile and small children, even cattle and livestock. If you look at the chapter 4 verse 10, the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for a great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" God is asking who will cry out for them and pray for them. Make them know my burst heart. Go for me and preach my love. God's heart is burning and in a pain by concerning people now. There are so many places like Nineveh need to send a holy kingdom priest. People desire to be blessed according to their own thought like Jonah for their satisfaction and good. How shall I spare? How shouldn't I concern? Let us have the kind of heart that God cried out to us today in the book of Jonah. God is not a God who kills and recklessly judges. He endures so many years that we cannot imagine, wait, persuade, and sacrifice a life to return to the path of a blessing. This is how we are alive until today. We are saved not because we've done good. We are saved by the grace and also for this mission to save one more life. The cause of all the judgment in the Bible is not just happening instant, but the result of a long suffering and waiting of God. Let's care about the lives we meet around us. And let's try to be the one who preach and proclaim the precious gospel. So soon after, we'll finish the cell cycle of end of this month. But during the kick time, I want you to have a more initiative to have a relationship or also to evangelize the people around. Take this time as an opportunity to proclaim the gospel. So as we go through the book of Jonah, I want you to learn the lesson and learn the heart of the God. How God is desperately want one more life to return back to Him. And put it into our hearts. Let's pray. You are saved with a great mission and you are sent with the great commission. We are not here to live for ourselves, our satisfaction. If you forget this commission of God, we easily get corrupted and collapsed. We not call for our own satisfaction, no matter this is a freeway or this is a narrow path. Do not forget we are called as a light and soul. We are called as a priesthood. So we cannot proclaim the gospel by the verbally with our voice, but by your life. The aroma of your life. We cannot hide the light. If you have left the life apart, I urge you to come back. I pray. Do not follow the situation what you see in your eye. Do not limit God by what you think. Put your trust in God and what is written in the Bible. Do not fall into sleep like Jonah. Let's be awake according to the word. I want you to meet what's the true heart of God, not the knowledge of God. Let's pray. We want to follow the ways of faith. We follow the heart of God. Help us to live like a Paul. Encourage every single person through the storm. Let's pray.